You're listening to the Mythgreen Podcast with your hosts, Oren Ashkenazi, Wes Matlock, and Chris Winkle. There was a castle by a waterfall with a pink and purple wall and a princess living there. She had no parents and was all alone. She got by on her own and she liked it pretty well. Cause she never wore socks, she had a pet snake, she bought a red guitar and she ate a whole cake. And there wasn't anybody there to tell her what to do, so she did what she wanted to. Everybody knew the story of the princess who saved herself.
This episode is brought to you by our patron, Kathy Ferguson, professor of political theory in Star Trek. Welcome everyone to another episode of the Mythgreens Podcast. I'm Oren, with me today is...
Wes.
And joining us for a third time is a recurring guest host, Ari.
He's back.
Hello, everyone. I'm happy to be here. I've had a great time talking about long nerd series, so now I'm excited to talk about something else.
Yeah, so this episode, we're talking about something that I think a lot of our GM listeners will have experienced at some point, which is Game Master Burnout.
Yeah, the burnout.
Yeah, and Wes, this topic was your idea, so why don't you give us a bit of a definition of what you're talking about?
Well, I mean, right, burnout can apply to basically anything, but, I mean, for game masters, you know, it's just, I kind of think about it as, you know, you're really kind of realizing that you're not having fun anymore, you know, that maybe you're putting less work in, you're not as inspired, you're tired, you're hungry, you're frustrated, and you feel like you're just out of fresh ideas. You feel like you've gone through everything you can do. You are burned out. Probably more likely with long-running campaigns, but it could certainly happen if you're shouldering the Game Master burden from week to week or day to day, or I guess however frequently you're playing matters. But yeah, that's kind of the idea when we talk about burnout. We're just talking about how to cope with all of these things that are interfering with your enjoyment of the game. So, Oren, is that something you've ever experienced?
Yeah, let me tell you. Yeah, I've had that happen a couple of times. One particularly notable instance in which I will not name any names, but I had a game that I ran in college where a couple of the players knew the setting that I was running in way better than I did. And there were some, like, they had some very preconceived notions about how things should be. I was trying to make things work for my story, and it was like, you know, they thought that I was running things according to the setting, and like, I was trying to make things work for this group that we had, and it was a whole thing. It was very stressful, and it was also a 3.5 system when I was really at my edge of like not ever wanting to run 3.5 ever again.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I was super burned out after that game. I was like, I didn't want to go anywhere near a GM screen for some time.
Yeah, that when it's been my experience too in some games when the players know things as good or better than you. I have found myself getting tired quickly of, you know, like arguments. I mean, people will mm-hmm. argue when they play role playing games. It's just part of the game, but that can wear you down really quickly, right? When they're like, no, I checked this and I should be able to do X, Y, and Z because of this ability that I have, or I did the math, or I don't know. That's just let's keep to the improv rule of saying yes all the time and move along.
Yeah. I found that for me, at least, one thing that really makes burnout worse is I actually don't do well running games remotely. Because like when I'm running a game remotely and I can't like read the faces of people around me, or at least this is my hypothesis for why this is, because I've noticed it in like every game that I have run remotely, I have always felt more exhausted afterwards, is that it always feels like everyone is super bored. You know, like I feel like I'm just talking into the void and nobody is like picking up on anything that I'm saying. And it's like, even when they eventually respond, it's like, it's too late. I've already formed this idea that no one's paying attention. I've cut a few games short, actually. Like, Ari, you were in my Avatar game that I ran a little while back. And, like, that was a fine game. But the fact that it was on, you know, that it was remote made it, like, much more difficult for me. So I ended up cutting it short, like, by a few sessions.
Sure.
Just because I was like, if I keep doing this, I'm not going to be able to like deliver a positive experience. And like, what's the point then?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've been there.
And Ari, you haven't GM'd like as much as Wes or I, but have you ever encountered anything like this?
So I've encountered kind of like a lesser form of it, and then I've encountered the flip side of it, which is player burnout, which is also not super fun. I'll start with the first one though.
Yeah.
I stress out a lot when it comes to planning sessions. I've run two full campaigns and a couple one shots, and I always stress out before a session. Like the first one was an L5R game, and I wanted to make sure that, because I love the setting of L5R. I love that kind of pseudo fantasy Japan that's nothing like real Japan, but you know, I can pretend it is. And I wanted to do interesting things with the world, because I think that's kind of one of the best things about L5R is the world that you're playing in. So every session I wanted to try and make sure that my players were getting an interesting glimpse into the world. And it didn't help that, you know, some players are just not as interested in the world. And I think that thankfully most of my party was, and overall it worked out well. But I was still stressing out a lot every session. And this kind of intensified in this most recent campaign. I've been playtesting, or is it okay if I talk about it air? Is that fine?
It's fine. It's not classified.
Okay, cool. I've been playtesting Orin's module for Torchbearer called Rising Tide, which is a super cool, like horror, like Cthulhu horror-esque, like treasure-finding adventure game thing that I have a lot of fun with. But I was always terrified that what I was doing was boring my players. Didn't matter how many times the players said they were having fun, or when the players like willingly opted into more sessions than we had originally planned, because I felt like we needed more to adequately finish off all of the villains and like the various important NPCs. But it was just very, it's just always very stressful. I'm sure we can get into some strategies to cope with burnout later, and I can talk a little bit about that. But the last thing I wanted to say on this topic was if you guys don't mind.
Yeah, go ahead.
Was the story of player burnout that I had at one point. So normally I'm pretty much game to play RPGs every week. It's, you know, I love RPGs. They're a great creative outlet. I've had some of the most fun I've ever had playing any game. Playing in a role-playing game. But this was a time where that was not the case. I had not one, not two, but three different RPGs scheduled over the course of 3 days.
Oh my god.
And so I was in an RPG for probably close to like 12 to like 16 hours over a weekend. Was me just role-playing. And by the end of it, the last one I played in was a Call of Cthulhu game. And Call of Cthulhu, you kind of have to get into it. You have to, like, buy into the horror and the your helplessness in the face of the unknown. And I was just not having it. I was just playing a character who did not care what was going on. I think at one point, we, like, walked into this house that was on fire. And the people in the house were like, oh my god, our house is on fire. And my response was, this was the only thing I didn't even think about. It was, I can see that. Do you need something? And that was it. That's where I was at that point. Thankfully, my character had a pretty high sanity. So role-playing that way somewhat fit the character's response. Because I always like role-playing character. If a character succeeds a sanity, I like to role-play them as someone who is slowly becoming basically disassociating themselves from their world around them. I think that's a fun character to play in Call of Cthulhu. It also helps me drive the plot forward when everyone else is playing people who have just kind of checked out a bit and have just kind of gone a bit on the other end and can be quite disruptive if you have a whole party of them.
Yeah. It's like, sorry, everybody failed their role, and now everyone is, like, running away from the squid. And it's like, but the squid is where the plot is, guys, come on.
Yeah, so I often find myself playing that character because it lets me drive the plot forward and still interact somewhat interestingly in the Call of Cthulhu. But at that point, I was that character. I was so done with any sort of role-playing, that was me. So player burnout, I don't think it happens quite as often. It takes some kind of extraordinary circumstances, because I don't think many people run or participate in three RPGs in 3 days. But I don't recommend it.
Yeah, not as a rule, no.
I generally would limit it to one or two a weekend, at least spaced out with a day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. So, Wes, Ari and I both jumped in on this. What has been your experience with GM burnout?
I think, actually, Ari touched on this a little bit, that there's, when you GM games, there's kind of a perception, and, you know, some people, whether or not we acknowledge it, you're running the game, and there's this pressure to kind of wow, right? Like, it's like you might be running like a pre-made campaign. If you're doing your own, there's pressure to kind of like show something cool like every time, and if you don't, you kind of consider yourself having failed at that. And so just some sessions I feel like I just didn't have enough oomph to like make something land, and even though like it was a perfectly enjoyable session for the players, like I felt like I just wasn't doing the right thing for it, when really I should be allowing myself the chance to just let them have like a solid dungeon crawl, for example, right? It's like, yeah, you don't need to do anything creative, you don't need to think of some crazy new concept or like rework magic in this other way. It's like sometimes people just want to sit around, laugh, and kill monsters, and I deal better with burnout now because I've kind of accepted that I don't have to be the primary source of entertainment. I can just let them entertain themselves through a system, right?
Yeah, and I think that the pressure to like to top yourself is a serious one, especially if you GM a lot. And like I felt that, like I actually feel kind of weird now. I haven't GM'd anything for months. It makes me feel very strange. But so I'm usually going pretty much from one campaign to another, right?
Yeah.
And if I have a really good one, it's like, man, that campaign was super great. Like, everyone loved it. I was really off the top of my game. How am I going to top that, right? Like, how is my next game going to be better than that? And of course, that's like a trap, right? Like, your next game doesn't have to be better than your last one, right?
Yeah, and it's a total trap too, because how are you even measuring like the success of that idea, right?
Like, yeah you have like a fun meter hidden somewhere. So just for some immediate advice from my perspective, if you are already suffering from burnout, like if a game has already like if you're probably the most difficult set of circumstances, I think, is if you are in a game, like you're still running your campaign and you're starting to suffer from burnout, right?
We should probably just interject here that,
yeah,
you know, if you're gonna self-diagnose this a little bit, like it's different from just being tired, you know, or unfocused. You know, it's if you find that you're just everything about the game seems a little bit more labored and that's getting worse, then you're starting to burn out, right? It's not that you, you know, it's if it's a long campaign, you know, it's not that you're not planning, because sometimes you might be happy to go and you don't need to plan it because you did a lot ahead of time, or you're working with players who improv. Like, you just need to pay attention to your attitude towards the game, right? Not your not your general well-being, but how you're specifically approaching this adventure, like, whatever you're doing.
Like, yeah, like, are you looking forward to playing with your
that's
players?
A big sign.
Like, because like I always get nervous about the planning, but I was never like not looking forward to playing,
right?
Like, it was always like, well, once we got going, I was okay, which is why I don't think I've actually burnt out yet.
Yeah.
But I think it's important to, you know, check that. And if you really aren't having any fun anymore, I would just recommend either, if it's a setup that allows it, maybe have someone else take over. Or sometimes it's okay to just call a campaign to a close, yeah, you know. Don't want, at some point, you know, people will pick up that you're not having fun anymore and they are less likely to have fun too.
Yeah.
So
let's say that you have decided that you've realized that you're burning out. Oren, tips? What do you got?
Yeah. Okay. So depending on your setup, Ari already voiced the idea of getting somebody else to take over the GMing position. And some games are more friendly to that than others, right? Like if you're playing a standard like by the book game of Mouse Guard or Torchbearer, that could work, because those games by default don't really have much in the way of an overarching plot. And you know, you could be like, hey man, I like get the group together and be like, so I'm just really like, this is not doing it for me. I'm not enjoying playing it, and I'm not doing you guys a good service by continuing to run in this condition, and like ask if anybody else wants to take over. And that would work just fine. That would be less viable if you're playing, like, you know, a really deep, like, you know, meta story of using the mage setting where everything is complicated and there are, like, you know, riddles within riddles. There's, like, no way anyone's gonna be able to step in at that point, even if you, like, give them all your campaign notes or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you can't, if that's not an option, you have, like, a couple of other things you can do. You can try to see if maybe the issue is that you just need, like, some low-key, easy sessions, in which case you can go to the players and be like, hey, players, what do you want to happen next session? Mm-hmm. And just, like, do a couple of sessions like that. Just be like, you know, Ari, what's your dream next session? And, you know, Ari would be like, I don't know, shooting spiders or whatever.
yeah, I mean, I love shooting spiders. This is well documented.
Yes. And so then you can do that. And that's like, that takes some of the pressure off you, right?
Yeah, actually, Oren, to interrupt.
No, go ahead, go ahead.
That's great advice. And we've kind of, you know, for our Dungeons & Dragons adventures, you know, you go to a tavern for information or whatever. But we've had some very enjoyable sessions where we actually mostly ended up playing, like, tavern or, like, card games or dice games, you know, that...
Huh.
Like, either I was running a session or a friend who, like, looked up a game. I think Skull is the one that we like to play, which is kind of like a matching game where, like, you roll, like, a bunch of D4. Everybody rolls a bunch of D4s, and then you make, like, wagers based on how many threes, like, are hidden under all the cups, right? And so, like, you try to top each other. And we've, you know, had those be part of the plot, and we've had those that take up, like, half the session just because we all felt like playing that, you know, and like that that is like a nice break where you are just kind of with friends doing something that's not relying on you to be the source of the entertainment. Everybody can contribute together. So yeah. I think enjoying the tavern games or shooting spiders or whatever can be a really fun way to take an in-game break.
But who has enough D4s for that? Like, really important question.
Well, I like dice.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, I definitely agree with a lot of, like, you both mentioned stuff that I was already thinking about. I do think that something that helped me definitely was going from the other end of the when if your problem is that you don't feel like you're delivering a good enough experience to your players, talk to someone about your story.
Yeah.
Someone who isn't in the game necessarily, you know, if you don't want to spoil things for them, you know, asking your players what they want to do. That's also a piece of advice I'd say, you know, ask your players what interests them in your world, then you know what to focus on. But, you know, what I did when I was running Oren's system is one of the things that, like I said, stressed me out was the planning. So I talked to Oren, and basically he and I would sit down for, you know, 20 minutes, half an hour, and kind of workshop my session ideas. And I think they were significantly better for that. Oren helped me make sure that my timeline remained consistent, because there was, you know, as they often do in RPGs, what I thought was going to happen at the beginning of the game is not necessarily what ended up happening, but I wanted it to still be internally consistent, so it made sense how all these characters were in mm-hmm. different places at different points in the storyline. So Oren helped me with that. He also helped me figure out ways to kind of set player expectations for what was achievable and what was not. Because at some point I'm like, I really want my players to do this, but I don't want them to, like, I don't want to be like, this is the only thing you can do.
Right. Yeah.
So how do I do that in a plausible way that doesn't make them feel like I'm just, like, driving them along, like, railroading them, essentially? And so Oren helped me come up with plausible reasons for, like, why you couldn't just, you know, go do something else, or why couldn't you just murder the bad guys who are in front of you right now? It's like, well, they have a bunch of dudes with them, like, more dudes than you have dudes, and you're only normal dudes, so you can't just, like, fight them and get and win. So that kind of thing. I think having someone able to check your ideas with you is huge, can be hugely helpful. And if that's where your stress is coming from, it's a good way to alleviate that, because someone else can give you the go ahead that your ideas are good before you have to put them to the test around the table.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And speaking about just, like, preparation in general, I mean, I kind of avoid too prescriptive of advice about, like, time or whatnot, but a source of stress and burnout can be you plan for things and then they don't happen, right? Yep. You know, it's like, what? Like, my party just did what? They skipped over all of my really fun, like, social intrigue dynamics and just decided to go to the orc, like, lair and murder everybody. So, I mean, a good way to deal with that is just recycle your stuff. You know, if you don't get it to this session, don't try to shoehorn anybody, don't railroad them into anything, but recycle it, repurpose it, and use it again. You know, that'll cut down and it'll get the cool things that you want done integrated into your game eventually. And yeah, I mean, if you make stuff, you want to use it. And if you don't get a chance, just wait for the right moment and it'll pay off.
Yeah, I certainly agree with that. If it's okay, there is a YouTube series for folks who that some folks might not have heard of that I think has some pretty good advice. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously we're a great source of advice. But if it's okay, I can, like, you know,
yeah, I'll put,
if you don't no, mind me
yeah,
saying.
Yeah, go ahead.
So I believe it's Matthew
Colville is the guy you're thinking
yeah,
of.
Yeah, thank you, Colville. Yeah. Matthew Colville's YouTube channel, he focuses almost entirely on D&D, but that advice that Wes just gave is exactly one of the things that he talks about. If your players don't use something that you put a lot of work into, pick it up, put it somewhere else.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the players won't know, and you have not wasted that work.
Yeah. I'm a really big fan of like modular planning, where it's like, I want to do this intrigue scene, and here's some ideas. And it's like, well, maybe the players don't do this intrigue scene in exactly the way I anticipated, or they just don't do it this session. And then, so next time I'm like, well, I'm going to reskin the intrigue scene. Instead of being with the Mer elves, now it's with the gnolls. And, you know, it's basically the same scene.
I was, once again, very lucky with my players in that, like, almost everything I planned that could happen, my players were up for doing. Like, at one point, I had, like, one of the big villains that they had been fighting was, like, I had this whole motivation for, like, why he had turned evil kind of thing. And, like, you know, I had, like, a little speech for him and, like, some stuff to go into. I wanted to use it, but it was quite possible that my party would just murder him and, like, not care about his storyline, because just, at least one of them had no care for any of what my villains or why they were doing things. She was just interested in beating up the bad guys. Mm-hmm. But one of the players her character had gotten kind of a connection with this villain before he had been revealed as a villain, and so she was actually interested in why he had done what he had did. So I got to use all of my content because I think that I was able to accurately match up a villain with each of the party members. So there was at least one person who was interested in each of my main villain NPCs. Enough to be like, hey, why are you evil? Or maybe we can save you kind of thing. So that kind of, I felt very lucky there. And it did help a lot. It really made it so I didn't just waste a bunch of energy coming up with all these reasons for why this NPC did a thing and then they just kill the NPC. And it's like, oh, good talk, everyone.
So, I mean, you definitely had some very cooperative players that helped. And I mean, like,
yes.
Also your
good players.
I guess get
good players.
Yeah.
is another piece of advice.
Well, I mean, if that's something that you can do beforehand, that it is, yeah. I do recommend, and not everyone has the luxury of this, right? Like, I'm very privileged in this term because, like, I have so many friends that I know, frankly, who want to be in my games that I don't have to game with the ones that I know will stress me out. Like, I haven't always had that been that lucky, but if you have that option, I really recommend using it. Just, like, you know, there are some players who are perfectly good people and that you like to hang out with, but that you don't want to game with because you know something about their style is just going to make it harder for you.
Right.
Or like, yep. People who are fine alone, but if you have two of them in the same game, then they'll, like, feed off of each other and it will become a terrible monster mash. So that's some... Yeah, go ahead, Wes.
Well, I'm just curious to kind of build off that. Let's say that you've got, like, a group... And I mean, we talked earlier, right, about a source of burnout can be, you know, the GM shouldering the storytelling burden and doing all the work. And so it's great when you have players willing to help drive the story and move things along. And, you know, we want, as GMs, you want to get feedback. You want to know what you can do to make the story better. I'm curious what your guys' thoughts might be about GMs giving feedback to players with the... with the idea of, hey, I really liked when you did this, you know, like, very, like, positive feedback to try to point out and maybe guide them towards, like, contributing to the story more as a way of like sharing that and getting it off of your shoulders, right? Because positive feedback can go a long way. I will never advocate for telling people negative things about their performance because you want them to play with you. But that kind of really like positive support for things that you liked, that helped you out, that made the story better, GMs should make that known. And giving praise is a good way to like feel like, you know, of identifying the good things that happen in your session. Even if you're feeling burned out, there probably will be good moments, and focusing on that can really help perspective and help you feel better and like things are going in the right way. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't want to advocate for like training players, but, you know, we all want to play better and have more fun. Well, so that might be an option.
No, I do think... that some systems actually, I think, promote this. I think Torchbearer and Rising Tide and the like being one of them, with the idea of awarding Artha at the end of the game for doing cool things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a good way to kind of insert in praise for characters and learn what got them excited without trying to be too obvious about it. Because, mm-hmm. like, you don't want to, like, try... Oftentimes, you kind of want what's happening to be a surprise. And so by hearing like I thought what you did at this point was amazing, here's an Artha, you know, and they're like, yeah, I was super, you know, this thing was cool, right? This is what made me. So I think if you're trying to be a little sneaky about it, some games actually promote telling players what they did really well as part of, you know, a reward.
Yeah, that's true. Outside of like the, you know, the reward system or the meta currency system of a game, I had honestly never really considered giving feedback to players as the GM. It's just for some reason it just never occurred to me. I think it definitely has potential. I mean, like it's new and a little scary. I definitely like I have like some red flags around anything that like feels like me telling a player how to play their character, but so you would want to be careful. Like you covered a lot of that ground already of like, you know, it's not your job to be like, I really just didn't like how you played that scene in the tavern. I felt like you were being really rude to that innkeeper.
What if you were bad?
So like, but I it's not a bad idea, like especially if, you know, it, as a way to encourage players to go in like a constructive direction, right? Because, you know, for a lot of players, they're also, you know, in, you know, kind of unknown territory, right? Like playing a character is not something that is without effort, especially for newer players.
It's funny because, I mean, I've been thinking about feedback like this, and I have done some positive feedback every now and then, but there's like the part of you as a GM when you have players that like are, you want them to be doing things a little differently. And so there's like part of you that wants them to just be the GM so they can deal with all this crap, you know, and hopefully that'll make them better players. Right. So I'm just thinking about, you got to think about alternatives. And another one is that comes to mind. That's also kind of, I don't know, maybe vindictive or egocentric, is then the opportunity is when you get to be a player, you're like, oh yeah, I'm gonna model how to be a great player. But then you probably are like doing too much and like taking away from other people's fun, right?
Let me tell you, I am not a great player. I do my best, but it is hard for me not to backseat story drive. Like I try.
I mean, sometimes you need that. Like in some of the games where we play with GMs multiple times, I think sometimes they come to rely on you as a person who can drive a story. Which is like, you know, it can be unfortunate if you want to play other types of characters.
Yeah.
But like, I honestly haven't played with many games where I felt like you were a detriment to us, like, moving forward. Because at some point you do have to move forward. You can't just mess around for 4 hours, which... some parties seem like they would totally do if no one was there to be like, okay, team, let's gather up. And sometimes GMs just aren't equipped to do that themselves, so sometimes a player needs to do that. Which is why oftentimes sometimes in your games, I will find myself being the straight man to a party of hooligans.
You gotta herd the cats.
You just have to herd them and drag them towards a story resolution. Whatever they want, and as long as they have, you know, hopefully they're having a good time doing their mess arounds. But at some point, the story should probably resolve, and, you know, something cool should happen.
Yeah, Another, like, since we're coming to the end of our time here, another, like, useful piece of advice I've found is, so assuming that you've tried a lot of what we're already talking about, or, like, you just don't think it would work and you're really feeling like this, you know, this game is just wearing on you, there are, you know, your two immediate remaining options are, to have a finale early, and, like, that's totally a thing you can just, you know, you can do. You can be like, all right, guys, I'm accelerating the story a bit, because, like, you know, this is just personally not working for me. And then you, like, bring up all of the cool end stuff early. And sometimes you even find that that actually improves the game, because some GMs plan way too much filler. So that is, like, at the very least, that campaign will have an end, right? And, like, then you don't have to run it anymore. But as a last resort, like, it is okay to just say, all right, I'm not GMing this anymore. Sorry, guys. Like, yeah. if that's what you have to do, like, it's not, no game is worth destroying yourself over.
Yeah.
If for no other reason, then it will not be a positive experience for the players either, right? Because, like, you know, they're spending, like, 4 to 6 hours every week at a table watching you stress out is not a great expenditure of their time.
Nope. Yeah.
So, like, those are, like, my final two recommendations are, like, to either, like, have a climax early, or if you can't do that and you just need an out, just, like, hit the eject button. Okay, just get out of there.
Mm-hmm. Just escape.
Yeah, just get out. If somebody else wants to take over the GMing, they can. If that isn't an option, whatever. Not every game is destined to finish.
Yep, that happens sometimes. Yep. You know, it's sometimes the best for everyone.
Yeah, and, like, I've been on the other side of that, where I've been a player for a GM who was clearly burning out and would, like, try to force themselves to keep running, and it was like, I just don't, like, as a player, it feels like I'm not, like, I can't justify spending this many hours a week doing that. And I much prefer it when the GM is like, all right, guys, sorry, I just can't. I'm going to open this slot up. Somebody else can have it. All right. And so with that, we are out of time. Hopefully not burned out to do a meta commentary.
I'm podcast burnout.
Yeah, podcast burnout.
I'm never coming back. Yeah.
But thank you, Ari, for joining us for this set of three podcasts. We really enjoyed having you.
Of course. Thank you. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. Hopefully I can be on here at some point in the future. Hopefully we don't sound too similar.
Yeah, I hope so. If we get a lot of complaints about that, that might be an issue. But anyway.
Sounds good.
All right. Those of you at home, if anything we said piqued your interest, you can email us at podcast@mythicgreens.com. Otherwise, we will see you next week. Spend your next free evening trapped on a ship with a supernatural menace, trying to recover your lost memories. And bring your friends. It's all in our standalone RPG, The Voyage, for sale on mythgreens.com. There was a dragon with a pointy tail. He was bigger than a whale, and his breath was terrible. He scared the princess when he came around. Tried to burn the castle down, but she caught him by his tail. Then she tied him to a tree so the dragon couldn't fly. She told him he was mean, and it made the dragon cry. When he finally apologized, she offered him some tea. He accepted it graciously. He visits every weekend with the princess who saved herself.
This has been the Mythgreant Podcast. Opening closing theme, The Princess Who Saved Herself, by Jonathan Colton.